Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Injured at work in a motor vehicle accident or had a fall in a public space? Speak to Your Claim Lawyers, a no-win, no-fee personal injury claims law firm that specialises in maximising compensation claims for injured people. Call 1-800-YOUR-CLAIM or yourclaimlawyers.com.au.
Welcome back to Stumps this weekend. Jordan Kanellis and Bryce McGain with you. Coming down to the pointy end of the BBL season, most teams have either one or two matches remaining before we get into the finals, which begins in about a week from now. The Melbourne Stars have already booked their position in the BBL finals. They have locked away pretty much top spot at the moment with 10 wins from their 13 matches. It's been an extraordinary season so far from the Melbourne Stars. And a big reason for that, Bryce, has been their director of cricket at the Stars, Trent Woodhill, who joins us here on Stumps. Hello, Trent. Welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, guys. Hope you're well.
Congratulations so far on the great results that you've enjoyed so far through the season. What's been the main highlight for you that you've been most pleased with when watching your team?
Well, firstly, thanks for that. I appreciate it. And it's something that we've really enjoyed and really proud of. And I think what's been the best thing is that we've won, wanting to win more games. And likewise, when we've lost, we haven't kicked the cans and started jumping the shadows. We're just trying to get through the basics and win every ball. And that's a good feeling. That means we're not getting too high and we're not getting too low.
Was that a direct objective from the back end of last season? The way that petered out, maybe, you know, looking at the history of the club through its 8 seasons prior to this, was there a clear shift to stomp the foot down and say, let's change things up at the Stars?
It's probably a maturity. I think players are maturing, and I think also that it's the nature of the competition. With the competition being shortened by a week, you can't get too caught up in your last game. And what we've done really well, and what we've done probably better than other teams, is we've moved away from the previous game. So we've learned from winning and we've learned from losing, and it's a really tough trip now with the big bash, and you can get really caught up in how the previous game's gone and not be ready for that next game. We felt well with the three losses we've had. Two of them have been against the Strikers, who we think are a really good team, but it's gone down to the last over on both occasions, and the first one down to the last four. And then the Sixers, we felt there's a couple of individuals, namely Vincent and Enrique, that just played out of their skin. Mm. And then in a bowl with Ben Dwarshuis, who came back strongly from his mauling at the MCG to bowl really well. So we felt like other teams have had to play really well to beat us. It's important that we continue to think that way, that we put out an effort that makes the other teams going to be at the top of their game to beat us.
There's no doubt about that, Trent. Great to be catching up with you. And I know you and David Hussey have a great relationship, along with your captain, Glenn Maxwell. And it really is a team effort. And it is clearly that way at the Stars. Now, more than just the director of cricket, you have a bit of a hands-on role as well as the batting coach. But you've also done a lot of work in the preparation of the team as well. And that's what I'm really interested in, not only the analysis and bringing in a more in-depth analysis of T20 cricket and how to succeed at it, but also the recruiting. So how do you balance all the hats and how much time you're finding you're putting into this role with the Stars?
It's a lot, but it's obviously enjoyable when you're winning. So when you feel like the fruits of your labour are being recognised, then you have a lot more energy than you would if things aren't working. And I think it's important to grow in your roles. And with Clifton Mackay as bowling coach this year, he's really embraced the data analysis. And it's not about being led by that. It's about balancing your intuition and experience in the game with the stats that are real. So I feel like as a team, we're growing into that. And then in terms of the list, Cohesion's played a big part, and with both myself and David Hussey have learned a lot from Greg Shippard and then Stephen Fleming. So yep. I think David is a combination of the two. He's very close to both, and as am I. So we've we're making sure that we're growing and learning rather than having all the answers. So we make sure we look for those where we can. But then that comes in and onto the list. We're filling up players, have an environment here where they can be wrong and not be judged on it. They can develop parts of their games without tinkering too much. So that especially the Perth boys, which we've got five or six of, they've come into this environment with a bit of freedom, which means that they have to think a little bit more about their own preparation rather than waiting to be told what their preparation is.
Well, it's certainly a full-ranging combination. In terms of the recruiting, I guess your main international player was Dale Steyn, but it looks at like it in the way it's turned out, because of a little niggling injury, it's probably more of a marketing campaign for Dale Steyn. Harris Ralph was an incredible pickup. Explain that to us, because he's come from nowhere and been one of the key bowlers of the T20 this tournament.
Yeah, we got a heads up from Nick Cummins, who was previous GM of the Thunder, CEO of Tasmanian Cricket, and he has a relationship with the Q-Landers at Lahore, because he had a quad series that he'd run with the Sixers, the Thunder, the Q-Landers and Auckland Cricket.
Yep.
And he notified us that there's a guy that might be available. The day Dale arrived, we knew that he had a niggle, and we weren't sure how much of the tournament he'd be able to play in. Our other import, Pat Brown, was only arriving the day we landed in on the Gold Coast, so we didn't want to expose him too early because of getting off the plane and playing. So we had access to Harris, and we gave the Hobart Hurricanes a heads up as well that we were interested in getting to Melbourne, and we gave them an opportunity too, because they were just playing cricket in Glenorchy, and they had an interest in him.
Yep.
We had a need from him. So they had interest, we had a need, and we pulled the trigger on that, and we were as excited by everybody, and obviously he's a massive talent. So I wouldn't say we were lucky because we're thorough, but we're lucky that he's not only a fast bowler, he's also a really vibrant, exciting person too, which has been great for us.
Trent, how much of that pick up, that selection of Harris Ralph? I know you obviously trust the people around you within the organisation, but how much had you actually seen and known of Harris Ralph? And in some way, was it a bit of blind faith in picking him based on word of mouth?
Well, the blind faith comes a bit like the data stuff. You get out the facts first. So what we knew he was quick because we'd seen footage of him bowling to notably a couple of South African players in the PSL, and you could tell from the footage that he was hurrying people up. And then you speak to players who have played against him in the PSL, and they were quick to say, yeah, great change up, he's quicker than you think. And I guess we didn't expect him to be as quick as what we saw on online. And the conditions in Australia obviously suit him as well, especially the MCG. So we were really excited by Harris, and then afterwards, everyone was just so excited to see him bowl that quick, especially being able to bowl 150.
Absolutely. I can just see you sitting back there just ticking all the boxes down there. He's fast. It suits the MCG, tick. The opposition hate facing him, tick.
Yep.
Yeah, we'll give him a good chance. Yep. So it's not so much a risk. It's a real calculated analysis. And I guess that's the other part of what you've really delved into. And I think the Stars are doing this better than any other franchise. And I want to understand a bit more about that analysis. Does it come down to in truly understanding your opposition and where their preferences are in what side they hit the ball to, what their go-to is? And is it that in-depth that you're doing to formulate a game plan to take down the opposition each game?
Well, it gets to that. It gets to that point. If you look at two parts to it, you look at, first of all, we're trying to get the players in the position where they're really comfortable with their own games without worrying about the opposition. And that's where Huss and Maxi, that's their job, along with Clint McKay and Luke Wright and Jared Loughman. So it's making sure, first and foremost, the player is ready to go for the Stars. And then when we feel they're ready, then we'll add the opposition component, what to expect, what they do when they succeed, and what they do when they're average. So I don't mean average isn't bad, but as in the consistency of the player. So, for example, John O'Wells, he keeps getting ahead of the curve. We think we're onto something, and he responds. And so it's important to realise the opposition has a say, and at times they're better, and that's okay as well. I think maybe in the past, we were almost, when teams were better or individuals were better, it was difficult to accept, and that prevents learning. I think this year we've been calmer when somebody else has had a day out against us. And tonight it might be a Lynn or a De Villiers. And you know, you just got to sit back and roll with it. But you know, we also then know that if we plan right and we execute the way we want to be, it's knowing you want to be at your best, but when you're not at your best, how do you still get a result? How do you take games deep? And that's where that analysis side can come into play. But first and foremost, it's the coaches with the captain being able to level the players to make sure that they're ready to go from an individual perspective and a team perspective before you can add anything else to it.
Trent, it's an incredible insight you're getting, and I'm really loving it. Being a cricket snuff, I'm really enjoying the way that you're going about it and also explaining it. One of the things clearly from the outside, and your standard newspaper reporter would go, well, the Stars are doing well because Stoinis is doing great at the top, and Maxwell's been a gun and he's doing that, and that's just the way it is. But there's a lot more levels to that, and the part that I really like was one of the games, and it seemed to be a gut feel that the Scorchers like to score on the onside. But then you brought in a bowler specifically for that role, which was Jackson Coleman, who out of the blue just cleaned him up, locked him down, and angling the left armer, angling the ball across those leg side dominant players, and it just proved to be a masterstroke. And it seemed like it was out of the blue, but obviously that's the analysis and that insight working in the match situation, isn't it?
Yeah, and Jackson Coleman's a hell of a talent first and foremost, and he's had some injury issues, and we felt we had to get better across some of the areas because if you like Perth and to a lesser extent Sydney Sixers have been so dominant as well, so we need to make sure we have a lot of athleticism in our squad, but also bowling depth. So the fact that Jackson's taken a three for this year, Clint Hinchcliffe has two three fours, and Nick Babinson has one three for.
Yep.
That's a good response to it being just dominated by two players. So we've been in a position to be able to rest Matthew Cook's Nile at times to make sure that when he plays, he gives his body every chance to beat his peak. And that way, you know, sometimes it's Jackson Coleman, it's Lance Morris. And if we come back to Dale Steyn, we got Dale because we also knew the character he was. And he's been invaluable with passing on his information to both Clint McKay, but also people like Lance Morris and Jackson Coleman, and even Pat Brown, our other import, who never played because of his injury. So it's trying to establish a learning environment, not just a feel-good franchise, so that players can take stuff from the environment that we've created under Huss and Matthew, that they improve when they leave here as well. And that's also then celebrating international call-ups. So Peter Hanscom, Adam Zampa and Harris Ralph being selected for their countries is a really good thing rather than it being a bad thing.
Yeah.
And I think that's a better way to attract players as well, that if you can encourage people to come here because they're going to improve and have more chance of being picked for the country, I think that's a big plus.
Trent, is your level of data analysis and the way that the Melbourne Stars have operated this year, is it a new standard? Is it a new level for 2020 cricket? Has it been seen and used before, do you know, in Test cricket? Is this a new frontier that you're now approaching?
I think it is. And the Renegades did a fantastic job with it last year. And we use the same people as they do in a company called CricBiz. So we use a different analyst to them. But I think it's, in my experience, having been in an analytical position before, a lot of it's hindsight. A lot of it's like, someone saying, well, I told you you should have played Jackson Coleman, which doesn't help. So it's trying to, how you bring in real-time decision-making. And so I think what we do well is that we allow Glenn options. So rather than it just being instinctive, he'll be instinctive around three or four options that we may put in front of him. But then come to the Scorchers game at the MCG, that's all Glenn Maxwell. He has worked out from the batting innings that this wicket is going to be difficult to score on and spin. So he introduced Hinchcliffe, Maxwell, Sandeep, Madison. So he had four bowlers that he could use that maybe weren't in our plans, weren't in our A and B plans. So I think the player's ability to lead themselves and be led in terms of Glenn is the first important ingredient for data analysis. Because sometimes it can be a little bit too raw, where you're asking a player to be at their best all the time, and in a tournament like this, which is so long, that's difficult to do. So it's making sure when they operate at 80 or 90%, they're operating in a smart way as well. They have all the information to deal with that.
How did the players embrace it initially? Glenn Maxwell, the captain, the rest of the squad, was it was it daunting for them, or did they embrace it wholeheartedly?
No, I think they did, and we've sort of done due diligence too. We filter information to make sure we're not overburdening them, and there's some games where we'll take that out because players might be tired, and that you just want them to prepare about getting their own game right and react to what's in front of them. And other times, we're telling them the likelihood of what will be in front of them, and that's where Huss has been really good. And him having a feel for the group just from being captain first, and then being coach, being assistant for a year, then being coach is massive. So his relationship with Maxi and the team has been good. And I guess Peter Hanscom captaining last game showed that the group's in a really good place. It was a seamless transition to a teammate in Maxi who was hurting and was able to feel that love around the group without things going off track. But as much as we didn't get the win, we felt like we're stronger for that experience for how Pete went as well.
Yeah, he did a really good job. It's great to have that level of depth and that leadership there. Big game coming up. You've got the Heat. It's a serious challenge because they're so unpredictable. They've got lumpy performance, but they've got some stars in their team. What can we expect tonight?
Well, I think we're a little bit stronger than we were in Adelaide with Chris and I being back, so that helps. And it's just make sure we own our ground as well. We haven't lost there this season. We feel really confident when we're playing there. So it's just making sure that from the first ball, the Heat is on the Heat, and that's just making good decisions. And if there is a little moment where a lean or the biggest gets away, it's being ready to create an opportunity so that they don't go the full way. So they're allowed a highlights package, but it's making sure that if a chance is offered, we're allowed to capture that, whether it's a run out, excellent catch or just a good couple of tight overs to put pressure on them.
Without giving away your innermost trade secrets there, Trent Woodhill from the Melbourne Stars joining us here on Stumps. What's probably the most obvious and prominent thing that you have analysed about the Brisbane Heat and how they've gone this season?
The funny thing is I've worked with David Warner since about 2008. I did 7 IPLs with AB de Villiers. I can't tell you anything about how to get him out. And if you like, but the way I work as a batting coach particularly is just to try and make sure people feel good and they're really going back to their natural technique and feel in a good place to execute. So it's weird when you see game plans for someone like De Villiers. You think, well, okay, good luck. Because he's a genius. And sometimes you just got to sit back and enjoy the show. And when he misses out, you breathe a nice sigh of relief and hope it can carry on.
Well, the best way is to limit the damage. I know firsthand, Trent, how good he can be, having him belting me around the park for 160 in my test match. But, look, he is a star, and he's bringing people in the gate as well. He hasn't quite really nailed and hit his straps. I hope it's not tonight. We'll leave that for...
We might
leave that for their last game, and they can farewell him maybe with a big showpiece innings. But Glenn Maxwell's been terrific as captain,
we know he's had
his challenges and his mental health, and he's led the way. I think it's remarkable what he's done, and for the whole community, not just the cricket, and not just for himself, but a lot of men in the country are saying, well, it's okay to just go, look, I'm not quite right now, I just need a bit of a break, and he's done that, and he's come back refreshed, and his leadership, we're now seeing that, and the way he's talking about it, it's nearly like the insight when the Big Bash first started and Shane Warne started talking through deliveries, and you go, hang on, this bloke's a genius. He gets the game. He's a great leader of the game, and we're seeing that with Glenn Maxwell, aren't we?
We are. He's as good as I've worked with, and he's one player that can be in the same column as an AB de Villiers. So you put in that T20 space, he can win the game from anywhere. But I think what people don't really realise about Glenn is just how good he is at being captain. It's not just off the cuff. He does a lot of studying of the opposition, a lot of studying his own players and where they're at. So his decision making is first class as a leader, and he feels he has an environment with the Stars where he's back, so he can make decisions that maybe not turn out right, whether it's individually with the bat or whether it's as a captain, and the whole team's got his back. And
yep.
that means his confidence is growing as well, and he's definitely, you know, the leader of this team, and everyone looks up to him and everyone supports him. So in turn, you know, he offers a lot of support for the new players, and someone like Clint Hinchcliffe, who's come across this year, has thrived under Glenn's tutorage, and not just from a game perspective, but also from a life perspective. So it's great to see, and that they're the things that make you feel good about the position you're in.
Can that, what you've just said about Glenn Maxwell in T20s, can that easily be translated then into the red ball form, into Test cricket?
Oh, no doubt. I've sort of looked at my tweets over the last 3 years. I've said the same thing in December each year, that this guy's too good not to be in the Australian setup. But likewise, I think in JL, he's got a fan. JL is supportive of Glenn, and especially when Glenn took that time out, JL was very helpful with him. But
yeah.
I've pushed and pushed and pushed in terms of how we treat talent in Australia, and Glenn is a better player than players in that test team. He's got more talent than players in that test team, but sometimes that's not enough, and sometimes you need some support with the talent. You need to be able to give an extended run, and it's just the way sport is, and Bryce, you understand that. Sometimes there's guys who just get more chances than others, and they have to prove themselves over and over again. It's just a shame when it's the talent ones, because you know that if he had an extended run, he'd be world class, because that's how I see him every day.
No doubt about it, Trent. And thanks for the insight. We really appreciate that. Glenn Maxwell, there would be every other country around the world that would say, well, and particularly it was highlighted most definitely in the most recent one-day series, India, yeah, where Australia in their middle order didn't have any firepower, that they probably weren't so concerned. And there's no disrespect to Ashton Turner as he comes in at six. But if it's a Glenn Maxwell, I can assure you now, Virat Kohli's got some headaches. And every other country would hate to see him coming in at six, whether it be in white clothing, whether it be at T20 or even the one-day game. So he is going to be the key of our cricket, and it's great that you're well aware that JL is a supporter. And I think the selectors are getting things right and honing in on supporting the strengths of the players more than maybe moulding them to be a certain way.
I think so. I think, and it's, you know, as a nation of cricket, we're conservative, and things like that take time. And it's, and I've made that point to JL. It's easier for me from a franchise perspective to push on things. It's a different setup than a day-to-day thing. Maxi will be one of the first picks in that T20 World Cup team, and there'll be other opportunities again in white ball cricket. And whether there is in red ball cricket, who knows? But it's just nice that he's in a good place, and that he feels he can express himself around his cricket. And you know, that's what the stars we want to be known for. That's the culture of the club, is one of support and one of growth. So I think it's a club where we're doing that.
Trent, before we let you go, one of the players who you've brought into your Melbourne Stars squad for this late stage of the season, on this occasion to fill in for Harris Ralph, is another Pakistan quick, Dilbar Hussain, who will be playing tonight against the Brisbane Heat. Tell us a bit about Dilbar, and I suppose the similar process I imagine it would have taken to find him in the way that you did Harris Ralph, and what he's all about, Dilbar Hussain.
Well, from the introduction from Nick Cummins to the Hawke Newlanders, so we established a relationship with Harris, and I feel like we really looked after him. And we provided him with an opportunity, but he provided performance and excitement. So they've been really helpful with us trying to establish another player, and they recommended Dilbar to us, who bowls with Harris in the PSL. So he came over maybe 4 or 5 days ago now, and had a good hit out at the junction with Michael Beer and up against John O'Merlo, and he feels good. He trained with us yesterday. Looks great. He probably won't be as quick as Harris, but he's got some tricks. His Yorker will be A+, and his slower ball's really good. And I feel at the MCG, his bag of tricks will be helpful. And that's one area that the last couple of losses we haven't been able to close out the innings from a bowling perspective. And we think Dilbar will provide that opportunity.
Trent, it's been a pleasure chatting to you today on Stumps. Good luck with the rest of the season. You're in a premium position right now, the Stars, to go on and take the whole thing in your stride, but you've managed it well so far through this portion of the season, and I hope it goes well for your sake in the finals. Thank you very much.
Thanks, guys, and thanks for the questions and the support. Appreciate it.
Trent Woodhill, the director of cricket at the Melbourne Stars, and what a season they've had, Bryce.
Well, what a terrific insight. You know, Trent's so open with him just sharing the way they go about it. And boy, I'm excited. I want to play for the Stars now. You know, if they're about growth and you know, producing good players and you know, springboarding them further, I think that's it's all really positive, and they're doing a great job. And you can see it. You can see they're a happy group. So credit to Trent in his role as director of cricket.
We'll take a break on Stumps. We'll come back on the other side of this and wrap things up for this afternoon.
Want to witness the world's biggest football game? Head to iCanWin.com.au, predict Australia's score with a crystal ball, and it could be you and a friend at the FIFA World Cup Qatar 2022 semi-finals, all thanks to McDonald's. Maccas, together and loving it. TNCs apply.